This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to reconnect with your emotions after a period of numbness. A practical, step-by-step guide to rebuilding emotional self-awareness. In short, emotional numbness is not the absence of feeling. It is feeling that has gone underground, usually to protect you from something that was too much to carry at the time. Self-awareness does not return on its own. You have to go looking for it, gently and with intention. The process starts with your body, not your mind, because your body never stopped tracking what your mind learned to ignore. Small, consistent practice rebuilds more than any single act of introspection ever will. Definition: emotional self-awareness is the capacity to notice, name, and understand your own feeling states in real time. It means recognizing what you feel, why you feel it, and how that feeling is shaping the way you think and act before you respond to the world around you. A colleague of mine spent 18 months managing a team through restructure. He kept everyone else steady. He answered every difficult question, absorbed every piece of bad news, and held the line with calm he was proud of. By the time it was over, he sat across from me in a coffee shop and said, "I don't feel anything about any of it. Not relief, not grief, not anger, nothing." He was not broken, but his emotional self-awareness had gone completely dark. He had managed himself into numbness and had no idea how to find his way back. This is more common than people admit. Sustained pressure, loss, or simply the habit of pushing through without pausing, all of these can erode your access to your own inner life. You stop feeling in real time. Feelings still happen, but somewhere below the surface, disconnected from your awareness of them. Reconnecting is not about forcing emotion or performing recovery. It is about rebuilding honest contact with your own experience, one small step at a time. That is what this article will help you do. Why emotional numbness closes the door on self-awareness. Numbness is not the same as calmness. Calmness is a regulated state where you feel present and grounded. Numbness is the absence of signal, of texture, of the inner life that tells you what matters and what does not. Your brain learns to mute emotional signals when they consistently arrive in situations where acting on them feels dangerous or impossible. Over time, the muting becomes automatic. You stop noticing what you feel because noticing started to feel like a liability. The cost of that protection is self-awareness itself. This is why self-awareness cannot be restored by simply deciding to feel more. The door did not close by accident. It closed for a reason. And you will need a process that respects that reason while helping you open it again. What needs to be true before you begin? Before the steps below will work, two things must be in place. First, you need safety. Not certainty, not comfort, but a basic degree of psychological safety in your environment. If you are still in the middle of the crisis that caused the numbness, this process will struggle to take root. You do not need everything to be resolved. You need the acute pressure to have eased enough that turning inward is possible without immediate cost. Second, you need honesty. The biggest obstacle to rebuilding emotional self-awareness is not an ability. It is the habit of telling yourself that everything is fine. If you have convinced yourself that the numbness is simply maturity or professional composure, you will have nothing to work with. Start from the truth something closed, and you want to open it again. The process. 6 steps to reconnect with your emotions. Step 1. Start with your body, not your mind. Your body has been tracking your emotional life even while your conscious awareness went quiet. Physical sensations, tight shoulders, a shallow breath, a knot in your stomach are the earliest signals of feeling states. They arrive before language does. Each morning, before you check your phone or speak to anyone, spend 3 minutes scanning your body. Start at your feet and move upward. Notice where there is tension, heaviness, warmth, or constriction. Do not try to interpret it yet. Just notice. This is the first act of reconnection. Step 2. Name what you notice, even vaguely. Once you have physical sensation, try to attach a word to it. Not a diagnosis, not a story. Just a word. Heavy. Tight. Hollow. Restless. If you can go further and connect that word to an emotion, try it. My chest is tight, and I think I might be anxious is enough. You do not need precision at this stage. What you need is practice in the act of naming, because naming is how self-awareness gets rebuilt. The moment you say, "I think I feel disappointed," you've made contact with something real. For people who have been numb for a long time, Emotions often return as opposites of what they expect. You may feel irritable before you feel sad. You may feel restless before you feel grief. Trust the sequence your system offers, not the one you think you should have. Step 3. Keep a simple daily record. You do not need a journal in the traditional sense. What you need is a record of noticing. 3 to 5 lines per day. What you felt, when you felt it, and what was happening at the time. This is not about processing or analysis. It is about creating a pattern. After 2 weeks, you will begin to see which situations, conversations, and times of day produce signal. That pattern is the map of your emotional landscape, and it is the raw material of self-awareness. A simple format that works. At time, I notice sensation or feeling. I was doing / in the middle of / about to face. It felt like word or short phrase. That is it. 3 sentences. No more required. Step 4. Distinguish between what you feel and what you think you should feel. This step is where self-awareness separates from performance. Most people who've been through a hard stretch have strong ideas about what they should feel: gratitude that it is over, pride that they endured, optimism about what comes next. The actual feelings are often more complicated and frequently less socially acceptable. Sit with the question, what do I actually feel about this, as opposed to what would be reasonable or appropriate to feel? Write both answers down. The gap between them is important. Self-awareness does not require you to act on the feeling you find in that gap. It only requires you to acknowledge that it is there. This is one of the places where emotional intelligence intersects directly with how you lead and communicate under pressure. If you do not know what you actually feel, the feelings will leak into your tone, your decisions, and your relationships without your permission. Step 5. Practice naming emotions in conversation. Private practice only takes you so far. At some point, the reconnection has to happen in contact with other people. Choose one person you trust. Not to process everything with them, but to practice saying out loud what you noticed. Start small. I realized I've been more withdrawn than I thought. I think I'm still carrying more from the last year than I acknowledged. You do not need to go further than that. What you are practicing is the act of speaking your inner experience honestly, which is a skill as much as it is a feeling. This is also the moment when you may notice defensive reactions surfacing. If a conversation about your emotional experience triggers a tightening, a deflection, or a desire to minimize, that is not failure. That is information. The core framework offers a practical method for staying grounded when the internal response to honest conversation becomes sharp. Step 6. Build in regular check-ins, not just crisis scans. Most people only check in with themselves when something goes wrong. That is too late. The practice that sustains emotional self-awareness is the habit of asking, at regular intervals, what am I feeling right now? And what is it telling me? Twice a day is enough. Once mid-morning, once in the evening. The question is always the same: what is present? What triggered it? And is there anything I'm avoiding noticing? Over time, this habit becomes the system that keeps self-awareness from fading again. You stop relying on crisis to force you inward. You develop the capacity to stay in honest contact with your own experience as a matter of course. For leaders specifically, this habit changes how you arrive at difficult conversations. When you already know what you're carrying before you walk into the room, you're far less likely to let an acknowledged feeling shape your tone without your knowing. If you want to understand how that plays out under workplace pressure, recognizing whether your leadership voice is driven by anxiety rather than intention is a direct next step. When the environment makes this harder. Remote work and high-demand professional settings create a particular challenge for emotional self-awareness. When you work from home or in fragmented digital environments, the cues that once interrupted your day, a walk to a meeting, a conversation in a corridor, a visible colleague who seemed off, all disappear. You can go hours inside a mental task without any prompt to check in with yourself at all. In these settings, the check-in must be scheduled, not improvised. Put it in your calendar like a meeting. Label it plainly. 2-minute check-in. When it fires, close the screen you're working on, take 3 slow breaths, and answer the question, what am I carrying right now? The quality of your self-awareness in these environments directly affects how you show up on calls, in written messages, and in moments of tension. If you want to understand how that translates into managing workplace friction, staying grounded during a tense conversation starts with knowing your own state before the tension begins. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last. and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong trying to reconnect. These are the three mistakes I have seen most often. I have made at least two of them myself. The mistake: trying to reconnect through analysis instead of sensation. Why it happens: analytical people often try to think their way into emotional self-awareness, listing what they should be feeling and assessing whether it seems rational. What to do instead? Start with the body, every time. Physical sensation precedes emotion. You cannot think your way to a feeling you are not yet aware of. Sensation is the door. The mistake: expecting the process to feel like insight. Why it happens: people imagine that reconnecting with emotions will feel like a breakthrough, sudden clarity, relief, perhaps tears. In practice, it mostly feels like noticing mild discomfort and putting a word to it. What to do instead? Lower the bar. A good day in this practice is not a revelation. It is saying, I think I'm a bit anxious about that meeting, and actually meaning it. Quiet recognition is the work. The mistake: treating the reconnection as a private project that excludes other people. Why it happens: self-awareness sounds like a solo endeavor. The instinct is to do it alone, in private, before being ready to involve anyone else. What to do instead? Practice naming what you feel in safe conversation early and often. Self-awareness deepens where it is tested in contact with others, not just in isolation. The confidence competence loop applies here. Small, repeated acts of emotional honesty build both the skill and the confidence to keep going. Your daily self-awareness reset. A practical tool. Use this each morning and evening. It takes under 5 minutes. The goal is not depth on any single day. The goal is consistency across weeks. Morning 2 minutes. Number 1. Sit without your phone for 90 seconds before you begin work. Number 2. Scan your body from feet to shoulders. Notice any tension, heaviness, or constriction. Number 3. Write one sentence. This morning I feel word or phrase, and I think it is connected to brief context. Evening 2 minutes. Number 1. Before you move from work mode to personal time, pause for 90 seconds. Number 2. Ask, what feeling did I carry today that I did not fully acknowledge? Number 3. Write one sentence. Today I noticed feeling, which I think was triggered by situation or person. Number 4. Ask, is there anything I'm avoiding feeling right now? Write the honest answer, even if it is just yes without explanation. That is the whole tool. 4 sentences a day. Run it for 30 days before you assess whether it is working. The value of this practice is not in any single entry. It is in the pattern that emerges across entries, a gradually clearer map of what moves you, what drains you, and what you have been working hard not to see. Managers who develop this habit report a meaningful change in how they handle feedback and conflict. The reason connects to what the confidence competence loop reveals about feedback quality. The more clearly you understand your own emotional state, the more clearly you can receive and give honest information without distortion. The ground you are trying to get back to. Here is the truth of it. Emotional numbness is not a personality trait. It is a learned response to a set of circumstances, and learned responses can be unlearned. The reconnection does not happen in one conversation or one journaling session. It happens in the accumulated weight of small, honest moments where you stopped and asked, what am I actually feeling right now? That question, asked daily with genuine curiosity, is the practice. Everything else in this article is in service of it. Understanding how emotional awareness shapes behavior under tension takes on a different quality once you've rebuilt honest contact with your own experience. The ground you are trying to get back to is not perfect emotional clarity. It is the ability to notice what is real inside you, name it honestly, and let it inform how you act. Emotional self-awareness, once restored, becomes the steadiest thing you carry. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional self-awareness? Emotional self-awareness is the ability to notice and name your own feeling states as they arise, understand what triggers them, and recognize how they shape your thinking and behavior. It is the foundation of emotional intelligence and the starting point for every other self-regulation skill. Why do I feel emotionally numb after a stressful period? Emotional numbness is your nervous system protecting you from overwhelm. When stress, grief, or pressure become too much to process in the moment, your inner experience dims as a coping response. It is not permanent, and it is not a character flaw. It is a signal that something needed protecting. How do you rebuild emotional self-awareness after burnout? Rebuilding emotional self-awareness after burnout starts with small, consistent check-ins rather than deep introspection. Notice physical sensations first, then name them as feelings. Gradually extend the practice. Journaling, honest conversation, and slowing your daily pace all accelerate the process over time. How long does it take to reconnect with your emotions? There is no fixed timeline. Most people notice early signs of reconnection within 2 to 4 weeks of consistent daily practice. Full restoration of emotional self-awareness, where feelings arise clearly and without delay, often takes several months, depending on how long the numbness has been present. Can emotional self-awareness be practiced at work? Yes. Emotional self-awareness is directly applicable in workplace settings. Brief check-ins before meetings, noticing your physical response to feedback, and pausing before reacting to tension are all practical ways to strengthen self-awareness throughout the workday without any formal process. What is the difference between suppressing emotions and processing them? Suppression pushes feelings down to avoid discomfort, leaving them to surface later as irritability, distance, or physical tension. Processing means acknowledging what you feel, naming it honestly, sitting with it briefly, and allowing it to pass. Self-awareness makes the difference between the two responses possible. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.